Good morning and welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. That portion of God's Word that we read and consider today, the Holy Ghost has caused to be recorded in St. Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17, where we read as follows in Jesus' name. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. Then Jesus, when he had been baptized, came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Let us pray. Holy Father, these are your words. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. I cannot think of a better source of instruction in the biblical teaching of holy baptism than what we find in Luther's Small Catechism. I'd like to recite to you what we Lutherans confess about baptism from Luther's Small Catechism. What is baptism? Baptism is not simple water only, but it is the water comprehended in God's command and connected with his word. Which is that word of God? Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. What does baptism give or profit? It works the forgiveness of sins, delivers from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this, as the words and promises of God declare. Which are such words and promises of God? Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Mark, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned. How can water do such great things? It is not the water indeed that does them, but the word of God which is in and with the water, and faith which trusts such word of God in the water. For without the word of God, it is simple water and no baptism. But with the word of God, it is a baptism. That is a gracious water of life and regeneration of the Holy Ghost, as St. Paul says, Titus chapter 3, according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying. And finally, what does such baptizing with water signify? It signifies that the old Adam in us should by daily contrition and repentance be drowned and die with all sins and evil lusts, and again a new man daily come forth and arise, which shall live before God in righteousness and purity forever. As St. Paul writes, Romans chapter 6, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now, I just recited that to you from memory, and the reason I know the Catechism by heart is because I've been teaching it to children for over 30 years. And every time I go through the catechism, I learn something new. I cannot think of a more precious possession that we have in the church today than this pattern of sound doctrine summarized in Luther's Small Catechism. But is this catechism in agreement with the Word of God? That's the question we must ask and answer, and the answer is a resounding yes. I'd like to ask you a question about which many Christians have been arguing for a long time. Is baptism a ritual by which we confess our faith, or is baptism a gracious washing of rebirth by the Holy Spirit by which we are brought to faith? Well, the answer is both. An adult convert in India who is baptized by the invitation of Christ is going to find that he loses whatever social status he may have had when he was a member of the Hindu religion. An adult convert in Damascus, Syria, who becomes a Christian and is baptized, will see that his baptism makes him dead to his family. You can be shunned. You can be killed because you choose to be baptized. To say that one trusts in Christ but is afraid of baptism, or denies his baptism, or refuses to be baptized is to speak hypocritically. So it is perfectly true to say that baptism is a ritual by which we confess our faith, but it is so much more. Baptism is God's gracious work. And if you want to understand baptism, our baptism, you must look to Jesus' baptism, because Jesus' baptism is the foundation for our baptism. St. John the Baptist identifies him as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. When Jesus comes to John to be baptized and John wonders why this should be done, Jesus says, "This is to fulfill all righteousness." So he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He fulfills all the demands of God, and by being baptized, he commits himself to be identified with sinners as the one who bears their sin and obeys the law that they failed to obey. It is noteworthy that immediately after Jesus was baptized, he was led by the Spirit into the desert to do battle against the devil, facing his temptations, just as we in our liturgy of baptism ask the one to be baptized, "Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways?" Baptism set Jesus at war against the evil one. Baptism sets the Christian at war against the devil. But when looking at baptism, at Christ's baptism, we see something rather strange and can understand John's hesitance. He preached a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus is the only man who never committed a sin. There was nothing for which he had to repent. Why in the world would the only innocent man, who doesn't need to repent of any sin at all, ask for a baptism that is for repentance and the forgiveness of sins? He did so in order to identify with the sinners, not by committing the sin, but by exchanging his righteousness for their sin. And this is how we should look at Christ's baptism and our own baptism. It's a wonderful exchange that takes place. Jesus puts into the water of baptism his righteousness, and he takes from that water our sin, so that when we are brought to the font, we put into the water our sin, and we take from the water Christ's righteousness. When Jesus suffered and died, and the Roman soldier came by to break his legs because he thought perhaps he wasn't yet dead, he saw that he was dead. He had fully completed the saving work that he came into this world to complete. He fully bore all the sin of the world. He would not be shown any mercy, but he would pay the full price. And then the soldier took a spear and pierced Jesus' side, out of which came water and blood. Now this water and blood signifies that the water of holy baptism and the blood of Calvary are hereby joined. St. John explains this in 1 John chapter 5, verse 6. He's referring to Jesus. He says, "This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, and not by water only, but by water and blood." What does all of this mean? It means that Christ puts all of his saving benefits in the waters of holy baptism. In baptism, we change places with Jesus. The sin that was on our souls, the sin of which we were guilty, the sin of which we needed to repent, has become Christ's sin. So in baptism, God is revealed in his grace, in his forgiveness. The clearest revelation of God is at the baptism of Jesus, the voice of the Father, the Son standing in the Jordan River, the Holy Spirit descending as a dove, and the Father saying of his beloved Son, he loves him, he's well pleased with him. That's what baptism says to us. And then we fall into sin, and we do those things that deny our Christian confession. What do we do then? When we do what God has explicitly forbidden us to do, and we live a life of which we are ashamed. The Ten Commandments stand as an indictment, a permanent indictment against every evil thought, word, and deed. We've served ourselves first. We haven't loved our neighbors, and we've despised God's holy word, and we have brought shame upon his name, and we've worshipped idols. What do we do now? We reclaim our true identity. That's what we do. We go to where God's name and our name were joined in holy baptism, because that baptism that God baptized us with stands sure and secure all of our lives. It isn't possible to be rebaptized. God is the one who does the baptizing. And if you fall into sin after your baptism, if you begin to live an unchristian life, you don't have to be rebaptized. If you fall off a ship, you don't need to have another ship sent out to pick you up. You get back on the ship that you fell off of. You confess your sins. You receive absolution. And holy baptism guarantees you this right, that you can go and confess your sins and receive absolution from the pastor as from Christ himself, and in no wise doubt but firmly believe that by it your sins are forgiven before God in heaven. You have this right by virtue of your baptism. Now your conscience may tell you, well, you've sinned too many times, and you've walked too far away, and what you've done renders you unfit. Of course, all of this is true, but your baptism, that is God's invitation. That is God calling you by name. Come back, confess your sins, put your confidence in the one who shed his blood for you. And though you have violated the covenant on your side, don't think for one moment that God is capable of violating it on his side. I believe in one baptism for the remission of sins. This is a true confession of the Holy Christian Church. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, the apostles said. St. Peter says, baptism doth also now save us. He says, as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Baptism identifies us. We are identified by Jesus and his baptism, and our baptism are joined. That's what we hold on to when the devil accuses us, when our heart condemns us, and our strength fails us. I am baptized into Christ. I am a child of paradise. Amen. We thank you for being with us today on Christ for Us. During this holy season of Lent, we have Vespers every evening, Tuesday evening at Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston, Wednesday evening at First American Lutheran Church in Mayville, and Thursday evening at First Evanger Lutheran Church in Fertile. This is at 7 o'clock in the evening. Our Sunday morning schedule is 8 o'clock Sunday morning at First American Lutheran Church in Mayville, 10:30 at Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston, and 12 o'clock noon at First Evanger in Fertile. Please tune in next Sunday for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.